This is Helen McLean Brown and Donald Brown.
Yep.
On the History Project at Ballinafad on the 24th of August, 2009. Yeah. Can I start with you, Helen? What is your full name and who were your parents?
I was Helena Bessie.
And your parents were McLean?
Yes, Donald and Ada. And, oh, you want to know the grandparents, too. That was Donald and Mary.
Okay. Your grandmothers were, that married the McLeans, what families were they from, your grandmother? Hmm. What was her family?
Well, they came from Scotland, Jim, and they don't know much about them.
I don't know whether I ever heard who she was before. That's a good many years back.
Here. Yes, I know. We're talking ancient history here now.
Right. Benny, where did Benny come in?
My dad's cousin was Robert Benny Kirkwood. I think Bob married a Benny, I think. Mm-hmm. But
well, it used to be Benny's lived up here on this hill here.
Yes, that's right.
And they were related to the McLeans.
Was what was her name?
I can't remember their names.
Stop behind. That's not the important part anyway, I guess. Do you know any more about the Scots history? You consider yourselves to be Scots?
I do, but you...
Well, Scotch ancestry, she does, yes.
I do, than you did.
Oh, well, not me, no.
Do you know which part of Scotland at all? Did you ever go looking for the homestead or anything?
No, I'm afraid I didn't.
No, that's fine. Most people don't.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. And where would they have, the first McLeans that you know of, where would they have settled in this community? Which line?
Well, they settled on the sixth line.
On the sixth
and
line.
That's where her mother and father were born. Her father was born there.
Okay.
Yeah, see, there was Grandma and Grandpa and then Dad on top of her, fitting into
and there was Sandy McLean, his brother.
You remember the barber, would you?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, he barbered in Acton.
Right. So this was in, you'd be in Aran Township? You were north of the town line.
Yeah.
Right. You used to come to our feed mill anyway. Remember that. And
Bad Church and Sunday School.
Yes, it was kind of...
Stayed in the community. We never got far astray anyway.
That's right. You're among the real old-timers here.
Yeah.
And so on. It... I don't know if there was ever any rivalry between the Scots and the Irish. Were you aware of any of that, or just people got along, I guess, with each other?
I think so.
Well, they had an Irishman living across the road in Jesse McHenry.
Oh.
But I don't think there was any rivalry at all.
Right.
What was his father's name? Was it Bill? Was Jesse's father's name Bill?
Bill McHenry?
No, it wasn't Bill. That
I'm
was
not sure.
Dave? No, Dave wasn't Dave.
We heard that Jesse, we talked with Jean McHenry King from Georgetown.
Oh, yeah.
And she told us a bit about Jesse, and I think his dad, Alan, said they were big in the beef ring. They used to be the butchers.
Yes, they did.
Jesse was.
Yeah?
Yeah. Jesse was for quite a number of years.
Every Friday, was it? Every Friday?
Thursday or Friday. I don't know which day it was.
You want to just tell people how that, not everybody remembers that, just how did that beef ring work?
Well, I think I can remember a bit. I think Dad would give
each one of them.
They've donated, to
put in a beast once a year or something.
Yeah, And then you got your meat free for... every week.
Okay.
You got a certain amount of steaks, certain amount of roast, and everything like that.
Okay.
And that's the way it worked out. And Jesse done that for quite some time, and then it just seemed to peter out.
Huh.
Yeah.
So you'd always have fresh meat.
Every week.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you knew where it came from. That was a good system, I think.
Mm-hmm.
people got started freezing, putting meat in lockers. And
yeah, because at that time we didn't have the freezer and the fridge and all this kind
of refrigeration, yes, yeah. That's right. Well, everybody kind of depended on one another in those days, I think.
And they sure did, yeah.
And it was a good community spirit. What things were happening around the community that you remember, say, as a young girl or a child? What social life did you have?
Oh, do you want a social life, or what would you like to have? We used to go in the horse and buggy over to my grandmother's.
Oh,
they
yeah.
were on the second line, and we were on the sixth line.
Okay.
And the boys, my brothers, would sit. They had a little seat down in the buggy, you know,
yeah.
and they sit down there, and I was always on Mom and Dad's knee.
The rumble seat.
Yeah. And do you want to know all the bad things that happened?
Well, if they weren't too bad.
Anyway, we were at my called at my grandma and grandpa's on a Sunday.
Yes.
And Dad lifted me out of the buggy, and then was the boys out. And the horse got the line caught in the...
the end of the shaft.
Shaft, and swung oh. around. And I broke my leg.
Whoa.
Way up in my hip. So at that time, we were at Grandma and Grandpa.
She was about 5 years old then.
Yeah. And I laid on a granary board for 6 weeks for that.
Dear me.
And then what would happen, I'd have nightmares, and I would jump at night, you know, and break the leg over.
Oh.
And one time, I think it was the minister that came to see me. And this pail of stones he had on the foot of the bed.
Oh, yeah.
He hit that pail of stones and all that. I think I can remember, but not for sure. And he felt so bad, the minister.
It broke her leg over again.
Wow.
I did that quite 2-3 times. I would have nightmares at night.
Yeah.
So then finally they had to tie that leg.
Tie it down.
Yeah, so it couldn't.
Dear.
But the minister, you know what, I can still sort of remember that poor minister because
yes.
he felt so
badly.
Yeah.
Would the horse have stepped on it, or did the wheel run over it, do you think, or how did
Well,
it happen?
Dad always had the frisky horses.
Yeah.
And I think he would get us out of, Alan and Lloyd and I, out of the buggy.
And, yeah.
But he would told them, like, to the horse to stay there. And
yeah.
as a rule, he would stay,
yeah.
you know. But... he always
no, I think it was
that
his foot.
The line
were pretty high
cut.
Steppers that he always had.
Yeah.
And I think when he swung, his foot come up and caught her in the side of the leg and broke her hip. Yeah.
That would do it, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But can you imagine in those days? You're not going to have this down in paper, are you?
No. Well, somebody might hear the story, but that's what stories are for, is to be heard.
But what I would do, like at night, I'd go to sleep and I'd have nightmares.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd get to swing the leg over and break the leg over.
Oh, yeah.
So then they had to tie that to the foot of the bed so I couldn't get loose. Tie my foot to the foot of the bed.
And then they've had the Balmafad dances.
Up in the hall?
And we used to come down to them when I was working up here.
Okay.
You know, a few times we walked.
Yep. We walked from her place. Well, I walked from Janie Givens's, where I was working.
Okay.
I'd walk down to their place, and then we'd walk down to Balmafad to go to the dance.
Wow.
And walk home again through the snowbanks.
Is that how you two met in the first place? Some dances, or how did you know each other?
You're up at Janie's, was that it? Not at
Janie's.
Well,
I think that's how we got to know one another, I started working out at Balmafad, and that's how we got to know one another. We started going to dances together, and it kind of sprung on from there.
Yes?
Yeah.
No stopping it.
Nope.
How long have you been married, you two?
67 years last August, this last month.
67?
Yes.
Wow. It's amazing.
Yeah. That's a long time for me to live with one man, isn't it?
I know. It must be, I won't say it's boring, because I know Don is an interesting person, but it is a long time. Well, we've managed about 52 or something.
Yeah.
So
what family
we'll
do you
never have? Catch up to you.
No, I doubt that.
You have family,
well,
though, too, don't you?
We'll chat when we've, when we've got through our process here.
Okay.
When you were young, where did you go to to school, Helen?
Peacock School.
Peacock, eh? Yeah. Were you walking over there? How did you get there?
Walked most times.
Yeah.
Through the fields and through Steen. Have you remember Steen's?
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd come out at Steen's there.
Just at the top
come
of the hill.
Come down over the big yeah. hill at McHenry's and yeah. pick up Elm.
That's on.
We mostly walked, too. There was no school bus.
That's at the 7th line and the number 5 side road, I guess.
Yeah.
Peacock.
Yeah, yeah.
Peacock School. Do you remember any teachers there?
Oh, yes. There was Miss Smith, Martha Smith. And Miss
Grace McHenry.
Cook. Well, these one were before, I think, Grace McHenry. Uh-huh. Maybe these were before Grace.
Yeah, they would be. This was the last Grace. One.
Okay.
Yeah. And
were they generally pretty tough on you, or did you have an easy time there?
I'd say pretty easy.
All right. Good. And
but I never got beyond the grade 8.
I see.
I never got to high school.
No. Well, that's too bad. We all had to go somewhere to high school. I used to bicycle to Georgetown, about 6 miles.
That was quite a thing for you.
For high school.
What would happen, though, if it was rainy, or did you some take pity on you?
Well, I guess maybe my dad would take me in. After a year or two, I got old enough I could drive, but I cycled a lot.
Yeah.
But now everybody goes on school buses, I guess.
Oh, yeah, that's yeah. right.
Don drove a school bus, you know, for quite a long time, didn't you? I guess you knew that, didn't you?
No, I was just coming to Don to tell me where he grew up exactly and when he came to the Fed.
Well, I was born in Guelph, and we moved out to about the other side, out towards Hespler, but I can't just remember what they used to call it there, which I was very young there, and then we moved down to Scotch Block. You know where that is? Yeah. We used to be up above Milton there.
Around Milton, yes.
Yeah, and then we moved from Scotch Block to Ash Grove.
Okay.
And that's where I started to school.
Okay.
And then I was about, I imagine around 10, we moved to Acton.
I see.
And that's where I finished my schooling there.
Okay.
And then we weren't a family that had a lot of money. I started out to work as soon as I got my entrance and worked on farms.
Yeah.
And then my brother and I went into the trucking together.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. And then he went overseas in the army and I kept on with the ice business and trucking, and finally I got wise enough to quit that too.
To go to Orangeville, didn't you? Yes, I used to deliver ice in Orangeville.
I see.
And all the way up the road.
Jimmy, I can still see him going up these steps up in Orangeville. Can
yeah.
Look long with a block of ice on the shoulder.
Oh, yes.
It was hard work.
Pretty heavy stuff.
Yeah,
I think that's what's the matter with my shoulders today. I'm having a lot of problem with it, was carrying that cold ice on them.
It was hard and cold,
yeah,
that's for sure.
That's right. Yeah.
Tell me a bit about the trucking business. Were you drawing animals to the stockyard?
No. We were just doing general trucking around town.
Okay.
Moving mostly people.
Yeah.
And, well, we drew quite a bit of gravel, too. Shoveled it on by hand and shoveled it off by hand.
Okay.
Because I didn't have a dump truck. And, what else? The ice business was a big thing. We used to do that 3 times a week in the summertime.
Okay.
And the wintertime, we just pretty well retired.
Where would you pick up the ice? Were you
in Brampton?
In Brampton.
Yeah, I went down there where they made the ice. There was a special place there. We went to and picked it up
then
all the time.
You used to go?
I used to go down there about 4 or 5 o'clock in the mornings in the summertime and get it and come home and start delivering about 8 o'clock.
Was that something they had cut out of the river and stored?
No, it was all artificial. It was all artificial ice. We cut ice when my brother was with me. We cut ice off of the Acting Ponds for quite a number of years, and we stored it. It used to be an old ice house way there in Acton, an old stone building just opposite the pond.
Yes.
I think it's all built up there now.
Right.
And we used to have sawdust in there, and we used to cut the ice and put it in there and cover it with sawdust.
Yeah.
And then we put a roof over it.
Mm-hmm.
And Then we'd go in there in the summertime and dig it out. And then we'd go over to the pond and wash the salt, the sawdust all off of it, and then start delivering.
Would keep pretty well through the summer?
Oh, yes, it did. It kept pretty good in there that way. But I tell you, it was nothing like the artificial ice. That was the handiest of it all.
Yeah.
People complained about sometimes that we didn't get the sawdust off too much. It was plugging up the drains in the refrigerators.
I see. So everybody had to have an ice box or something.
Yeah, they did.
To store it in, eh?
We had quite a big rug there in Acton. Yeah, quite a big rug.
Well, that was the artificial ice when we went to Orange.
Well, it was artificial when I delivered in Orangeville. Okay. I never had that. When Orville left, I quit the sauna because I couldn't handle the outfit myself. Mm. I was too young then. I was only about 19 or 20 when he left to go overseas.
When did you actually start farming then? When you were married or I'm?
Yes. Well, we lived in Acton quite a while I was trucking, didn't we? And the truck was starting to get run down and everything, and we decided to buy this farm up the seventh line here.
Okay.
And it used to be the old Stroger farm.
I see.
And we bought it for $5,250.
Can you imagine? Isn't that something?
No, I can't imagine that. Well, that's still on the seventh line, eh?
Yes, that was right up by, I don't know, you know where George Ritter, Norm Riddler lived up there.
Yeah,
and it was
across,
right across the road.
Across
from
the road,
him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we farmed there for, 25 years? And then we decided to give that up, and we built the house down on the lower there beside the tower, and I sold that property to the tower, too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, for to build that tower on, and then we built the house right next to it. And we lived there for 32 years.
Wow.
And then our family decided that I had a heart operation at the time in 2001, and I had to, I couldn't even cut the grass or anything for a while, so the family was all working, and they decided we should be moving into town. So we moved into the apartment. And we've been there for 7 years now.
Okay.
And now we're thinking of moving to Orangeville to the seniors.
I see.
Yeah, we were in
the Avalon?
Yes, the Avalon. We're up there the other day and we liked it very well. We're into the other one too, but I don't know, it didn't seem to be so homey as the Avalon.
I was in there yesterday.
Were you?
In there?
The Avalon?
To visit my cousin.
With your cousin?
Oh,
we know your
Marion Smeaton. Marion Kirkwood.
Oh, Marion Kirkwood, yes, when you say Marion Kirkwood.
Alan Kirkwood's sister.
Yeah.
Well, all the Aaron Kirkwoods are sisters and brothers of hers.
Yeah.
So how old would she be?
She was in Georgetown. Well, she was the oldest of Donald's kids. So she would be into her 70s, I guess. She's had a lot of cancer and stuff, but she seemed quite bright yesterday. Yeah, I was coming down.
Probably would have seen her because we were up in
there. Well, we would have. I don't even recognize her. Not like I haven't seen her for years and years or heard of her.
If someone had just said to us, you know that lady where she comes from quite often.
Yeah. Well, we were talking to Bob McGill's. They're both in there.
I see.
You knew him, didn't you?
You would know.
I know their name.
Yeah.
Shirley.
And Helen's cousin was up from Hamilton. Was in there seeing a friend of theirs, a cousin of theirs in there that day, so we happened to have a friend visit with them too.
Okay.
We got in there, we didn't think we'd know anybody.
It's a lovely place there.
Yeah. Just going back to the farm a bit that you left, you mentioned a tower there. Is that a radio tower? What is that tower?
Yeah, it's a microwave tower.
Microwave.
It's for telephone.
Oh, I see.
It's telephone, long-distance calling and that.
I see.
Yeah.
That was what kind of put us on the
phone. Yeah, that's what put us on our feet.
Slow going until something like that.
We put the waterworks in the house with that, and
Hydro.
Hydro, yes.
I see.
It really helped us along a lot.
All right.
Yes, you sure were.
You could do a lot with a few dollars in, but you couldn't do today.
Yeah. Did they buy from you, or were they renting space, or the land, or
the
for
tower?
The tower?
No, they bought it.
They bought it.
They
eh?
Bought it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Tell me what's happening on that farm now. Is anybody else growing things on the farm?
Oh, yes. Well, right now, there's quite a big shot up. What's his name over here on the... Oh.
The guy down at Acton?
No. He used to be over here on the ninth line. He used to work in the... He used to have a stone quarry. You should know him.
Sure.
He was over here in your time.
Yeah, what the heck is his name?
Oh, anyway. I drove a truck for him one summer. Delivering stone.
Yeah, does he buy up quite a few farms and...
No.
No.
He's in the snow business of pushing snow in the wintertime.
I see.
He has a lot of big contracts.
Uh-huh.
And he had a farm above Hillsburg, and he sold it and bought the my old place. And what do you think he paid for that?
More than $5,200, anyway.
He paid $1,200,000 for it.
But that wasn't what we got.
What he, of course, the people that bought it from us put a new house on it.
Yeah.
And they ripped that barn down and they put other barns up on it. But the old barn was in good shape when they ripped it down. But this fella, Gord Hamilton.
Oh, yeah.
Ken Hamilton over here. It's his grandson that's on it now.
I see.
Yeah. He just bought it here a couple of years ago.
But he's not...
He bought it from a Dutchman, Joe Leenders.
Okay.
He had it for... Well, he bought it from me, I guess, didn't he?
Joe,
no,
yeah.
No.
Didn't Joe?
These other people bought it from us. And you remember the son shot himself in the cellar one night. Was down watching television and he shot himself.
Wow.
And they moved back to Toronto again.
I see.
And they sold the farm. I think Joe got it from them.
Okay. So is somebody making, is Hamilton, is he making money on it? Is he growing grain?
No,
he's growing
hay. He's got quite a few horses.
Okay.
And that's about all. I think he's just using it for a depot for his implements and stuff. He has a lot of trucks and stuff for snow, handling snow and stuff.
Okay.
But he has, if you ever come down by it, you'll notice he's got it. Down in the lower part of it, he's got it all fenced off with board fences.
Oh, yeah.
For horses to run in.
Yeah.
It's right along the road anyway. The back part of it, I guess he's growing hay on it. I know I saw he had hay baled up there anyway.
It seems too bad to me in a way sometimes. I guess I'm from the old generation. I'm nostalgic or something. But yeah. But, you know, there used to be a lot of food produced in this part of the country.
Why, sure they did.
Cattle
sure
marketed
did.
And pigs marketed
Well, I'll tell
groceries
you, Jim.
And so on. People got along on what they could grow.
Yeah.
And the land was productive.
Farming was different to what it is today. If farming is hard to make a living today.
Yeah.
My son is farming yet, Gary. You know him.
Yeah.
Well, he's still farming. But he's got to work in the co-op up at Grand Valley to make the farm pay.
Yeah.
To live on.
And he's making money on the farm.
Oh, you can't make money on the farm now. There's not enough to it.
They both work.
The only thing you can make money on, Jimmy, is milking cows.
Okay.
If you're in the dairy business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's doing that around? Anybody in this area that you know?
Well... Yes, there's quite a few doing it yet.
I'm just trying.
Up towards Guelph, maybe. And
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, in 24 around.
Yeah.
Steen still have a dairy and.
Yes, they have, but they're talking to moving to Guelph.
Oh, really?
Yes, we just read that in the paper here just a while ago.
Yeah.
But they're going to keep their dairy bar open there for selling milk and that there. They're likely to live around town yet, too.
Yes, I see.
They're going to move the business to Guelph. And it would be a blessing to get them off of the main street. It's terrible. The trucks that go in and out of there all the time, and they've got to back pull up on the street and back down in, and they're blocking traffic all the time.
Sure.
And it's
luckily it is. Though there's never, I don't think there's been an accident. Which
well, not that I've ever heard of yet, anyway. But it isn't very nice. I know that.
Yeah. Why does Gary stick with farming then if it isn't paid?
Oh,
did you put it in his blood or something?
It's in his blood.
Very
you couldn't
much.
Get him off the farm. He's not really feeling that well. His back's bothering him terrible.
Yeah.
But
and his
works.
Legs. And he's, I tried to get him to sell the farm. He's married to those cows. He's not in any, he's just in the beef business.
Yeah. And you should see him. They can take the little, he takes the little grandchildren out to the barn with him.
Oh, yes.
Oh, they just love to get out to the barn.
Yeah. Tell me about your grandchildren. How many does he have, Helen?
He's got three. Three, yeah.
And expecting another one. Huh. And we've got four great-grandchildren and four grandchildren.
Whoa.
Sounds kind of.
So you're pretty rich.
Yeah.
When it comes to children. Eh?
Yeah.
That's good.
We have one grandson in the police force. He's living in Georgetown.
Okay. Do any of those folks sort of think of Ballinafad, or do they have any feelings when they go through here? Or is it
no, none whatever, because none of them was ever around Ballinafad. Only Gary.
Yeah.
He went to summer school here for quite a little while.
Oh, yeah.
And he liked it here.
Yeah.
But once they got up, they got away from the band.
But Janice doesn't be.
No, Janice has nothing to do with Ballinafad or whatever.
Well, they had to go somewhere to make a living. That was
that's the
hard truth, wasn't it?
Yeah, they got to move away.
Her husband's a school teacher, isn't
he? Mm-hmm. Janice, she lives in Hillsburg.
I see.
And her husband taught school in Erin for, well, he just retired here a year or so ago.
Okay.
And she was in the bank in, well, Georgetown and Acton, different places. She worked in there for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
She's retired now, too.
You mentioned Gary coming to Sunday school here. I remember you folks as being strong church supporters.
Yes,
most
we
of
were,
your lives.
Very much so. And we're kind of seemed to have got straight away from the church here. It's they got it done so early now, Jim, that us old folks, we can't get up that early.
Well, 9:30 is quite early. Have you tried the church in Erin at all?
No, we haven't, but we were going to, but they've been at us to go up there, but
we
haven't done that.
We've been to different dinners and that there, but I think we have been to church. Maybe there was
we've been up to church there, but we don't go very steadily.
Baptism and that.
It's just that it's grace that we don't. That's all there is to it. It's just, I would say, mostly laziness, I think.
Well, you've made some contribution over your 60 years of married life.
Well, we've always supported the church here. We always give them a donation every winter.
Yeah.
We have up till this last year.
And I belong to the UCW.
Right.
Yes.
Did they used to come to your house sometimes for a meeting?
No, I don't know.
No, they have the meetings pretty well all in the church now.
The church, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
We haven't got room up in our apartment for meetings
now. No, I'm just thinking of the old days.
Yeah.
Women's Missionary Society.
Grandma and Grandpa had to have. Yeah. It's like a double house all the time.
Right. Oh, yes. But he means when we were on the farm up in Seven Pines, they never had many meetings there either.
What about Women's Institute? I think we're going to talk to Ada downstairs about Women's Institute.
Yeah.
Did you ever belong to that?
Oh, I belong to UCW.
Yeah. And music, were you singers?
Well, I sang in the choir here
for a while. Yeah,
quite a while.
I remember that. Yeah. So the church was...
I can sing at home when nobody hears me.
That's good. The church was fairly important to the community, I think, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Very, very much so. Mm. Very much so. And we always used to get out to church to meet old friends. But it's pretty near all new people in here now.
Yeah.
It's a different crowd altogether.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know any of them at all? Are they easy to meet or hard to meet? Or?
No, not really. We used to know them, but I can't remember who they were now.
Getting old.
Yeah, it's quite a trick. I think the congregation has managed fairly well a mix of of new people and older people, and more and more the newer people are taking the leadership and so on. And that's
I was on the board of the session here for quite a number of years.
Yeah, I was like looking at the booklet of the 100th anniversary of the church in 78, and there's pictures of you people in there.
Yeah, yeah.
I think our picture's on the wall downstairs. Yeah. No, downstairs.
Okay.
Yeah.
You maybe had something to do with writing up that history. I noticed that Jesse and Grace and some others wrote up that booklet. We're getting information from there.
Oh, yeah.
And so on.
Very interesting, I guess, as you get into it. It's
well, there's some books in there. I should have brought them out, but they're in the cupboard there from the Methodist Church around 1885.
Oh, for goodness sakes.
Handwritten records of who was in Sunday school, Sunday after Sunday, how many teachers there were, how many students, how many visitors.
Well, that'd be very interesting.
And how much, and then the Young People's Society, how they were trying to get new members, and that was, from the other church up by the by the hall there, before this one was even built.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, I remembered going to suppers in that old church.
Oh, yeah?
Up there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I remember going to suppers in that old church.
Like maybe...
Different times.
Such?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I say maybe the suppers, maybe I could have been helping.
Mm-hmm. I think they closed it around 74 or something like that and tore it down.
It was quite a wreck. They needed to come down.
That's right.
The horses, horse and buggies.
Yeah, there used to be a shed there.
Oh, yeah.
And right here where we're...
You wouldn't have remembered Janie Gibbon, would you?
I do,
Janie?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because her and that fella that was Perryman, they used to drive the horse and buggy to come to things. And the horse and cutter, I guess.
Yeah.
Tie the horse up down and under the shed.
Well, pretty much right where we're sitting here, there used to be a shed for the church here.
Oh,
I remember when there used to be a shed for tying up horses.
Oh, yes, I think I remember that.
Sort of right where we're at now.
Yeah.
And I don't know, if you look out the window, Don, do you remember the story of what we tried to do down there by the creek?
Oh, yeah.
I bet you were there with your team. And
yes, I was there.
And your scoop.
Different times.
Trying to scoop out an ice rink. And we never quite got it flooded. By the time it would freeze, the water had gone out from underneath. And just have a little... skim on top and you couldn't
tell. Yeah, you and Don just had a lot
in common,
didn't you?
It never worked out worth a darn.
Yeah, we should talk about the hockey team because you and I had a lot of interest in that.
Yes, we did. Yes.
Got some good exercise and built a bit of teamwork. And,
yes, I enjoyed that too.
You don't have a picture of us with our uniforms anymore, do you?
No, I don't.
I don't think, but it seemed to me that we have a picture. But not in your uniform. I must check some of our old pictures.
That picture, I think, is of the choir.
That's right. It is the choir.
Yeah. I think when I sang in the choir, I think the picture's of the choir.
Joan told you that story about coming home from Hillsburg in the storm, did she?
No.
From the hockey game? You remember we were coming from Hillsburg?
Oh, yes, and getting the team out and pull the cars through the snow.
Your horses.
He was talking about,
That was your team.
That was quite a night, about 2 o'clock in the morning.
It was. It was your team and sleigh that got us through, otherwise we were all going to sleep there.
Yeah.
Or else come to your house to sleep, so I think it was in your best interest to get us through so we could go home. But,
The roads, you remember though, the roads were terrible. Snow and
the top of Barry's Hill there.
Barry's there, it was really.
Well, we used to hold our own with Hillsburg and Aaron.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
You remember that? Were you still with us when we won it up here and we played away down at...
Stroud, maybe. Was it Stroud?
We played Stroud and then there was another one. Cannington. Where was that Lloyd or Ross judged horses down there that time we went down?
Where was it?
We went away down there and they came up.
Yeah,
we played down there and then they came up here. They put us out of it.
Yeah, we were in Intermediate C or D or Bush League or something.
Yeah, yeah, we had a lot of fun out of that, Jim, I'll tell you.
Team?
Yeah. But they were a much superior team for what we were. They had a lot of intermediate players on their team with good hockey players.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, we never had ice to practice or, you know, we never had a rink that we could practice on or anybody to coach as much. But we...
I have a little pond out there that used to come out when we were on the farm there, out at the front of the road in the wintertime sometimes. We used to play a bit of hockey out there.
Yeah, after you shoveled the snow off.
Yeah, and cleaned it off.
What I was thinking about was when, was it Steen's that had the pond?
Yeah.
Real cold, bitter nights and we'd take our skates and go.
It was quite a ways back from there.
That'd be through Jesse's, and then right through practice 7th line.
Oh, yeah.
And at night, we had the lantern, didn't we have the lanterns?
We'd build a fire back there and skate away there for an hour or so.
Happy as larks.
Yeah. Skates would be your boots, and you'd go to put your boots on, they were frozen.
Frozen, that's it. Well, I guess the saying is we made our own fun in those days.
Yes, we did.
Never
they
think
did. It's different
today.
What the kids have today.
Yeah.
They don't know what it'd be like to do what we did.
No.
No.
Somebody has to organize it for them, eh?
Yes, that's right.
What
everything is organized.
Buy them a lot of equipment and
the best of it.
Take them.
It was always old skates I had and old straps went around to keep your ankles up. And I never had decent skates.
Yeah, they used to have those old bob skates.
Yeah.
Put them on the bottom of your shoes.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
I never tried them, though.
Well, I think I did because I never got skates till I went to high school. And your feet are growing. You can't afford to buy skates every year.
Well, I played a little bit of junior hockey in Acton for about a year or so, and then I left Acton. I was working away, so I didn't get any more. It was a real good
team.
Yeah, it was good for me.
Yeah.
You learned me a lot about hockey, getting into that.
Teamwork. And
yeah, I was only about 16 then.
Did you play some softball too?
Oh yes, I played softball. I played with the, what was it we had over there at Acton? What did they call that? It was a bunch of farm fellas that got together.
Not intermediate.
We went down and played in a tournament in down at Norville there, not Norville, Huttonville.
Oh yeah.
We went down there one summer and played in a tournament down there, but...
Yeah.
We were no match for a lot of them players down there.
Yeah. Well, it's the same thing.
Yes, I played softball.
We used to practice in farmers' fields over at the 8th line corner and down at Silver Creek. And
those were the good old days, weren't they?
Well, they were to us, but nobody's clamoring to go back there. So so I guess it's going to live on in our in our memories.
Yeah. That's right.
Mm-hmm. But skates, or remember, they'd be for our boots.
Yeah.
When we'd have the skate back there in Jesse's, way back, it wasn't Jesse's pond, way back, and our boots would be, Ristine's, our boots would be froze when we go to put them on, and then we had to walk home from there.
I know.
We were beggars for punishment.
That's right. There were a lot of good times. Were there any hard times that either of you remember, especially when you were getting started or in
the community? Yes, and we were on the farm up there when we started. We didn't have hardly anything to go by, and I know Helen's father, he gave us a cow and a calf, and he helped us out quite a bit for on the start, but we had a pretty rough time for the first few years.
Can you imagine a young couple today starting out, getting the cow and the calf and
go
start
to
your
it.
Life?
Yeah. I know. But,
and we had no hydro and nothing. When the hydro, when they sold that down there to the Bell telephone tower.
Yeah.
I tell you, it put us on our feet. We got along a lot better after that.
That was when we started to live, wasn't it?
That's when we started to live.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we had our three kids was born there too.
Well, it's happening a lot in the world, you know. I traveled a bit and spent time in Africa, as you know, and a lot of people there are moving from village life where they looked after themselves pretty well, but not satisfied with it, or being forced one way or another to go to town and pick up a job and maybe not find one for a long time. Shifting from looking after yourself on the land to depending on they call the cash economy.
Yeah.
It's quite a big change, and it seems to happen all over the world, and there aren't any easy ways to do it. And a lot of
people happened over here about the same way years ago.
Yeah.
But it's they're a lot slower getting the same as we got.
Yeah.
It's I don't know whether that country is ever going to pick up to where it's going to be self-sufficient or not. Do you think it is?
Oh, well, there's still half the people live in villages, and they do supply themselves. They grow their food, and they catch their fish, and they sell a bit of maize or corn at harvest time and buy some clothes. And, there are a lot of people looking after themselves at that level that you don't hear about.
Yeah.
It's when you make the break to town that you either kind of make it or break it. And there's a lot of hard life, but it's like here, nobody wants to go back to the village after they've been in.
Well, it seems though, Jim, that they're still always taking up stuff to be sent over there.
Yes.
Clothing and food and medical supplies.
Well, there's a lot of money comes out of that country.
Is there?
You know, their stuff goes in, but they have a lot of debts to the banks of the world and to the World Bank and to the companies, and they're always paying heavy interest on the debts that they have.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of wealth coming out of there in the form of oil and minerals and gold and copper, but that money doesn't stay in Africa very well. It ends up here with Barrick Gold and Imperial Oil and those people who refine it and sell it to you and me.
Yeah.
They're not paying enough to the producers, to the countries, and they kind of browbeat or bribe the governments to charge very little royalty for the stuff they take.
Yeah.
And so the tax money that stays isn't enough to develop welfare and things like we have here. So there's a certain sense in which we have it as good as we have because of companies that we have all over the world bringing money back to us.
Yeah.
That's not something we...
Well, somebody must be making a lot of profit out of it there someplace.
Well, they were until they got carried away and greedy, and the stock market kind of collapsed, and that showed that they weren't really producing anything. They were just depending on other people's stuff to sell and make money on it. So there is a lot of money made. There's a lot of spare cash around in our society, and even you and I live on the edges of that, but it's not a very fair world, and that's one of the main things I learned in Africa was that we need to have better legislation, better rules of trade, better systems of taxation, so that the wealth can be spread around a bit more. Anyway, that's my sermon for today. But
so how long did you say you were in Africa?
Well, Marion and I and the children lived there for 12 years in three different places. And then I was traveling in Africa then for the United Church for 18 years after that.
Oh, dear.
So it's been pretty much my life. And even now I'm running a website with news from Africa. And we mail it out to people who are interested and so on.
Mm-hmm. What about your family?
For your time and for the memories.
You're welcome.
It's enjoyed it.
great, and we'll try and get it all together and make it available to you.